Good morning to all of you. It's a great privilege to have you here on this beautiful Sunday morning. I just quickly want to introduce Harold and his wife this morning. It's a great privilege to have them as being part of the Shofar family. As most of you know, we've got about 35 or plus churches as Shofar churches, but also a lot of network churches in the Shofar family. And Gerard and his wife is so faithful over the years in building relationship with us as a family, as a Shofar. Their sons are the year in the church as well with us. Then Worcester, they had a congregation, Lifestyle Ministries, which Gerard actually pastored. And then also he was involved in Agape in Bloemfontein years ago. Gerard, that's now before I even was born, eh? Yeah, so they've been involved in a lot of ministry and also great people in the ministry to really father us at this stage. And we're so blessed to have them in Paul congregation, assisting Jaco Neefrink and his wife there at the Paul congregation. And this morning, it's really my privilege to ask him to come and share the word with us. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you very much, Hercules, for the very decent words. And just want to mention my biggest accomplishment in life was when I married my love of my life. And must just say I made a far better choice than what she did. So, yes. Two sons, the one who played the bass and the other son is studying. And then we got a little gift from God. She's only 5 years, Elizabeth. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father God, we just honor your presence this morning. We thank you, God, that you are a living God. We thank you, God, for your presence this morning. We thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price on the cross, so that we can have access to you. And Father, we just honor you this morning. Thank you that you're always on the move. You're not a God that is dead. Thank you that we're not worshiping a religious system. Thank you that we're not worshiping something that, and there's nothing inside of it. But thank you that by your Spirit you are alive, and that by your Spirit you are present this morning. And so we ask you, God, please speak to us. Please touch our hearts. Please change us so that there will be more of you, so that there will be more of your Spirit, so that there will be more of Jesus inside of us. And we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, amen. God is always on the move. God is nie 'n God wat stagneer nie. God is not a God that doesn't move. God is on the move. God is doing new things. And for me and you to run with God, we need to adapt with God all the time. Because if we don't adapt with God, we will get behind. And what happened at the time of Jesus when he came to earth, you know what? The whole temple worship was dead. The system was going, but God was absent, because the system was maintained, the system was running, and the people were trying their utmost to keep the system running, and they didn't realize that God wasn't there anymore. Because when Jesus came, he didn't first went to the temple, he first went to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the man that God used in a mighty way. So when John the Baptist, when he arrived at the scene, his message was very clear. His message was a very simple message. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John was saying, you know what, guys? Let me put it in the words of a guy who mentored me at Agape, Johan van Malter. He said, the only constant thing in church is change. Tell your buddy next to you, change. Guys, we need to change. Okay, you can take the boldness, just say change. We need to change. John the Baptist says, guys, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is about to do a new thing. And you and I need to change. We need to change so that we can be part of this new thing that God is about to do. God is ushering in his kingdom. God is doing a new thing, and you and I need to be part of this new thing. So in which areas do we need to change? We need, this word repent means a complete change of the way we think. A complete change of our mindset. And guys, let me tell you what I have experienced about God. Is that I always need to change the way that I think about him. God works in seasons. God, you know, why God works in seasons is that he reveal unto you and me what he is doing and who he is. But because we have limited capacity, he cannot show us everything that he is, and he cannot show us everything that he is doing. So he's working in seasons so that we would grasp a little truth, a little revelation of who he is. And the moment we grasp it, guess what? He's already moving on. He's already on a different topic. He's already at another place. We never, never, never can contain God. We must change the way we think about God. We must change the way we think about ourselves. We must change the way that we think about other people. Isn't that the commandment Jesus gave us? Love God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's about loving God. It's about loving your neighbor and making peace with who you are. We need to change. Pastor Rick Warren said, you know what? If I change, guess what? The whole world around me changes as well. Change always starts with me. It doesn't start with my wife. It doesn't start with my children. It doesn't start with my husband. It doesn't start with my boss. It doesn't start with the traffic. Oh, if they can just change the traffic lights and coordinate the traffic lights and get the taxis off the road. Change starts here. And we need to change. We need to change. So John was preaching. He said, you know what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We must change our mindset. And had I say, it is continuous. Repentance is a continuous process. God, guys, we need to change our mindset over and over and over and over. Because God is more than what we contain. When God moves in a certain season, it is because he wants to reveal to us who he is, what he is doing. And you know what? When we stop there, we miss the point. And so many people have stopped there, built ministries on that revelation. Stopped there and built churches on that revelation. But you know what? God is still on the move. And you and I need to move with God. So John the Baptist, you know what? His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, who was this John? John was a game changer. You know what? God raised him up. Miraculously, one day his father had to do duty at the temple, and the people was there. It was the hour of prayer, and they came together to pray. And John's father, Zacharias, can we call him Zach for the moment? You know, and Zach moved into the temple, and he moved into the temple to do some ministry, and. And when he moved inside, you know what? There was an angel of God visiting him. Now Zach was a little bit old. His wife also. They didn't have any children. And when God starts to move, he always starts to move with a miracle. You know what? If you and I can do it, God's not in it. You know what? Abraham, his lovely wife told him, she said, you know what, Abraham? Yes, my slave, do what you need to do. But Ishmael wasn't the chosen one. The one whose conception was miraculously was the chosen one. Isaac was the miracle baby. Isaac was the miracle son, and God was with Isaac. So here Zach, and he's in the temple, you know what, and he and his wife, you know, he was like, they were trusting God for a son. And they were praying all the while. And this angel appeared to Zacharias. And this angel said, your prayers are heard. Do we still know that God is a God that moves? That God is a God that do miracles? That we can put our trust in God? Because at the right time, the miracle will happen. And Zacharias, you know what? I think, you know, time went on so long. He just put it in the back of his head. Maybe he forgot about it. But one thing that the angel said to Zacharias was, you know what? This baby, this son, will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb of his mother. God was doing something very, very special. And you know what? When the angel appeared to Mary and Mary came to Elizabeth, that was John's mother's name, which means dedicated to God, Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth came when Mary came to Elizabeth and Mary was greeting Elizabeth, you know what happened? The baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped up. And the moment that baby jumped up, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And afterwards, when they took John, when he was born, when they took John to the temple to be dedicated to God and to be circumcised, and they asked the father, what would his name be? And the mom said, you know, because the father couldn't talk at that time. And the mom said, his name would be John. And then they start arguing with her. Say, it can't be, you know, no one in the family's name is John. And then they turn to the father and they say to the father, what will his name be? And he said, okay, bring me a little piece that I can write on it. You know, a piece of paper or chalk or a, you know, blackboard. And he wrote, his name will be John. At that moment, he started to talk. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit as well. Do you hear what God is doing? Miracles, prayer, people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? God wants to move. And God wants to move. He wants to do miracles. Prayer is important to him. The Holy Spirit is important to him. But let's just see who this John is. Matthew 3, verse 3 says, for this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So who was this John? God says he would be the voice crying in the wilderness. And his message would be, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Let's just look at this first thing, because John was the voice. Say with me, the voice. So John was the voice. You know what? When God moves, he uses people. God does nothing if there is no people that he can use. When God moves, he needs a man. When God moves, he needs a woman. If God wants to do something, he needs persons. He needs people. When God wanted to bring his people out of Egypt, he raised up Moses. And God met Moses in the wilderness. And God says, Moses, I want you to go to the people and lead them out of Egypt. When Mary came onto the scene and God wanted to bring the Savior, the Messiah, into this world, God, by his angel, spoke to a young teenager girl with the name of Mary. And Mary said, yes, I will do it. In spite of what the people would think, in spite of what my parents would think, in spite of what the religious people would think, yes, I will do it. She said, let it be to me according to thy word. God is moving. And God needs people that will move with him. When in Samuel's time, or just before Samuel's time, when you open the Bible at 1 Samuel, when you open the Bible at that part, you know what? There was another mother that was crying out to God. Her name was Hannah, and Hannah was trusting God for a son. Hannah said, God, please, I'm trusting you for a son. And she was in the tabernacle. She was crying out to God. She said, God, please come and touch me. God, please come and do a miracle. God, I'm pleading for a child. And she was crying as she was wrestling with God. And the high priest, his name was Eli. You know what? He was so far from God, he couldn't even see that Hannah was wrestling with God. And when he spoke to her, and she said, no, my Lord, you know what? I'm praying towards God. This tears is tears because I'm trusting God for a child. He said, okay, that's right. May God grant you what you prayed for. You know, at that time, the temple was the most wicked place to be. Because Eli wasn't serving God. He was serving himself. And his sons was like wicked. The original Hebrew word means is Belial. It means they were demonic. And you know what? Hannah, when she trusted God for a son, she said, God, you know what? I will give him back to you. And it meant that he had to go back to that wicked system. But thank God for God-fearing mothers. Thank God for mothers who fear God, who trust God, who knows God, who can pray. Because she raised that son, she trained him up in the fear of the Lord. Isn't it interesting that either you fear God or you are afraid of God? This mom, you know, she taught Samuel the fear of God. She put into him, I don't know for how long he was in the house, like Moses was in the house with Jochebed. You know what? But Hannah put into him, and she trained him, and she taught him the fear of God. And you know what? When Samuel, when he entered that system, he changed that system around. God is looking for people that is able to change systems, to turn systems around. John the Baptist was a game changer. Samuel was a game changer. Moses was a game changer. And God is looking for game changers. He's looking for people that will turn the system around, that will bring God back to the system. And God started to speak with Samuel and you know the story, what happened. The voice. God is looking for the voice. God is looking for a man. God is looking for a woman. You know what? We cannot change the whole world. But we can put the part of the world where he has put us. We can change people. We can influence people. We can become Jesus to people. Now the scripture said, this voice is crying. The voice cry. It doesn't say that the voice is whispering. It doesn't say that the voice was speaking. It says that the voice was crying. A voice, or the voice, crying in the desert. And cry is a strong word. It's a passionate word. I remember when I grew up, you know, in the time that we played outside, no TVs, no cell phones, no PCs. That was many, many moons ago. And we played at our friends' houses, you know. We played rugby and we played cricket and wegkruipertjie and blikkaspaai. And I don't know if they have apps for that today. But anyway, and then when it's time to eat, then my mom would say, okay, go and get your sister. We need to eat. And I would step out of the door, and instead of getting my sister, I would cry out her name. And then my mom said, you know, I could do that as well. I didn't ask you to cry out to her. I asked you to get her. So cry is very, very passionate. It's a very, very strong word. And this morning, as we just run through this part of Scripture, I want to give you a few principles of how to enter into a new season. And the first principle I want to give you is that a new season requires passionate worship. We must become passionate when we worship God. God is a living God. You know what? And we honor Him with our worship. So we need to honor Him with our worship. In Afrikaans sal ons sê, Hy verdien ons aanbidding. Worship that is passionate. When we go to Isaiah chapter 6, it says in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, and this is such a special, special part of Scripture. The word says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. So in chapter 6 of Isaiah, he had this vision of God. He saw God sitting on the throne. And verse 2 says, above it stood seraphim. That's angels. Each one had six wings. You can run to the third verse. And it says, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Angelic worship is passionate. They cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is so different than who you and I am. You know what? Worship is not when I put in a CD, or I play my MP3s, or I put on music and start to worship Him. Worship is so much more. Worship is so much more than just coming in and just experience this band, and thank you for the band, just bringing us into His presence. You know, worship is what you do with your life. Worship is how you obey God. It's how you speak with your children. It's how you train them. It's how you speak to your boss. It's how you drive your car. It's what you do with your life. That's worship. The first time worship was mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, when Abraham said to the servants, you stay here with the donkey, and I and the son is going to worship. I remember there was two pastors in the church. The one had to leave. That was his message the last time he preached. You stay with the donkey. I and the son are going to worship. You know what? In that move, Abram was giving everything. He said, God, I so entirely trust you. And I so have faith in you. That I will give you this miracle son. Because I believe that you can bring him back from death. That's what Hebrews said, what Abraham's belief was. Worship is what we do with our lives. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Guys, you know, the one thing that we need to check is our hearts. If we want to worship God, we need to check our hearts, that our hearts is soft and tender towards God. When our hearts is soft and tender towards God, you know what? We can experience Him in a new way and in a new level. But when our hearts grow cold and when our hearts is hardened, we cannot experience God in the way that we want to experience Him. It is when our hearts is soft that God changes us. There's a scripture in Matthew when Jesus was doing the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see God." It's when our hearts is pure that we will see Him all over the scene. We will see Him in the traffic. We will see Him in the trees. We will see Him in other people. We will see Him in things that happen. We will see Him in nature. It says in Psalm 73, God says, the word says, God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. It is when our hearts are pure that we experience His goodness, that we know that He is a good God. The next principle I want to give you on a new season is that a new season requires a new language. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, the word says, "So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." So what he realizes, wow, I'm unclean. You know what? I've seen God, and his first reaction is, I'm so unclean. And my lips are so unclean. Because what we speak generates from the inside. And you know what? When we are in society, we become defiled by our environment. We become contaminated by the environment. When we have contact with the environment, you know what? We start to think like the world. We start to act like the world. We become like the world. And you know what? When Isaiah saw God, he said, "Wow unto me." He realized all the stuff that is wrong on the inside. He said, "God, I need to change. God, I need you to work a work within me." And the Bible says, you know what happened is that the angel came with a coal from the altar, and with that coal he touched his lips. What we need is a touch from God. What we need is that God would change us from the inside out. Your language can only change when the fire of God has touched you. When God has touched us. When the inside has changed. Our language becomes fresh. It becomes new. It becomes different. Think of the first time that you came to this church. Think of the first time when you had contact with people in this church. Wasn't their language different? Wasn't it new? Wasn't it fresh? And God wants it to stay like that. He wants it to stay fresh and new and different. The third principle of a new season is that a new season requires a new nature of righteousness. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, the word of God says, "And he touched my mouth with it. He said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." So, wow, you know, God takes away the sin. God takes away that is not from him. And he gives us a new nature of righteousness. You know what? Kingdom people that is touched by God, they smell differently. They talk differently. They act differently. They are different. It says, John says, you know, of Isaiah said about John. And the third thing I want to talk about is the wilderness. Because In Matthew 3, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And the wilderness is a place of worship. The wilderness is a place where we meet with God. I don't want to rush. You know what? God spoke to Moses in the wilderness. Moses thought he's gonna redeem the nation of Israel. He's going to lead them out of Egypt on his ways. And he killed an Egyptian. And for that, he had to go to the wilderness for 40 years. And when he was in the wilderness, God touched him. God changed him. God shaped his life. God formed him to be the man to take the people out of Egypt. And while he was there, one day, God showed up. And this tree was burning. And God said to Moses, let's just run to Exodus 3, chapter 12. The word of God says, and God said to him, certainly, Moses, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. So God says, Moses, I want you to go and fetch the people. I want you to bring those people out of Egypt. And I want you to come to this mountain, this specific place, because I want you to worship me here. God wants a people that will worship him, that will be in love with him. In verse 18, when Moses go to the people, he says, and you with the elders will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now, please, let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. He says, let my people go. You know what? The thing that offended Pharaoh the most was not that the people wanted to go. The thing that offended Pharaoh the most is that they wanted to go and worship their God. Because when you go and you read the Bible, you will see he was so offended. And he thought, you know what, these guys, they got this thing about worshiping their God. I will double their workload. I will triple their workload so that they won't think about worshiping God in the desert. And you know what? The 10 plagues was a standoff between the living God and the diabolical, demonic, satanic, occultic practices of Egypt. You know what? Satan wouldn't let them go. Satan wouldn't let them go. And God says, let my people go so that they can worship me. Let them go so that they can worship me. In Exodus chapter 5, when Moses and the leaders went to Moses, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. God's heart was to meet them in the wilderness. The wilderness was a place of worship. You know what? God, in the wilderness, God became a reality for them. They experienced God in the cloud. They experienced God in the pillar of fire. They know that he was a living God. He became a reality to them. They saw his power. They saw how he parted the Red Sea. They saw his provision. You know what? It was only God that could provide breakfast, lunch, and supper for all these people. God provided to them miraculously. When he said to Moses, when Moses said, who will I tell them who sent me? He said, I am that I am. He said, Moses, I am everything that you will ever need on this journey. And that's where his name came from. The Lord, or Yahweh, as we pronounce it, because the word for ease in Hebrew is Chava, and his name is Yahweh. I am everything that you will ever need on this journey. They learned his nature sadly to say, they were supposed to learn his nature. But they didn't. Because that's why they all died in the wilderness. God said, let my people go so that they can come and worship me. And you know, when they came to the mountain, and when God said, you must prepare yourself, and God said to Moses, tell the people that they must sanctify themselves, because on the third day I will appear on the mountain. When God appeared on the mountain, they said to Moses, Moses, you go. We will stay here. And that's what I said to you earlier. Either you have the fear of God, or you are afraid of God. Because when Moses was up with God on the mountain, they started down here another religion. They started a religion that they were familiar with. They started a religion that, you know, they could control it. They could set the standards for it. Either you worship God, let me say it again, either you worship God or you worship gold. Only one little difference. But it makes a big, big difference at the end of the day. When God spoke to the prophet with the name of Hosea, you know what? In that time, the nation of Israel, they were into all these religions. And God told Hosea, he said, I want you to marry a prostitute because I want to show the people what they do to me. So he had to marry this prostitute, and they had, you know what? They had a son together. But then, you know, the prostitute nature got hold of her again, and she had two children from other husbands or other men. The one's name was Luami. God said to the people, you are not my people. Luami, not my people. And the other one's name was Luaruchama. No mercy. God says, my mercy is at the end. But then God says this very, very special word in Hosea chapter 14 and chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, God says, I will allure her. I will bring her back into the wilderness. God says, I will bring her back to the wilderness. Because why? It was a place of worship. It was a place where they experienced God, his power, his nature, who he is, his provision. God said, I will bring her back and I will speak comfort to her. God says that the place of worship is a place of comfort. Maybe you need comfort today. Maybe you just need somebody to tell you today, you're okay, you're going to make it. Because we're serving a living God. And then it goes on, verse 15, it says, I will give her vineyards from there. You know what? Ahab, he stole Naboth's vineyard. The wilderness is a place of restoration. God says, I'm going to give to you back what the enemy has stolen from you. And then it goes on, it says, and the valley of Achor, I will give to you as a door of hope. That valley, Achor, means problems. It means trouble. Maybe you are plagued this morning by a lot of troubles. And God says, I want to change that valley of trouble. I want to change the valley of problems. I want to make it to you a door of hope. Why? Because he's a God of miracles. And then it says, she shall sing there in the desert, in the wilderness, as in the days of her youth. As in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. You know what? Place of worship, the wilderness, is a place of renewal. When your relationship with him went stale, God says, I want to renew it. But you must come to a place of worship. You must come to a place where I can meet with you. The wilderness, it's a place of comfort, of restoration, of hope, and renewal. And let's finish off preparation. John said, you know what Isaiah said about John? He says, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the fourth principle of a new season is a new season requires preparation. So John came and he baptized the people in the river. But his message was, repent of your lifestyles, repent of your mindset. And the people came to be baptized by him, and they confessed their sins. And what was the message of John's baptism? It was to turn away from selfish, self-centered, narcissistic lifestyle. I think you have heard about narcissistic. You know what? It was a religious people, but they were living for themselves. And John's message was, guys, turn away from it and turn and submit yourself to God's will. Submit yourself to God's authority. Submit yourself to God's rule and submit yourself to God's way of doing. God is doing a different thing. And the one thing that we need to change from is doing my own thing. Doing it the way I want it. You know what? John, you know, he introduced the gospel of the kingdom. Religious people hate the gospel of the kingdom. The world hates the gospel of the kingdom. Where God is first, where his will is first, where his rule is first, where we're doing it his way. John was the first person who ever preached the gospel of the kingdom. He was beheaded for that. Jesus was the second person who preached the gospel of the kingdom. He was crucified for it. Guys, we need to make a decision. Are we going to do it our way, or are we going to do it God's way? The fifth principle of a new season is a new season requires new wineskins. God wants to pour out the new wineskins. New wine talks about a new season that God wants us to enter in. If Jesus lived today, he would say, if you want to experience new technology, you need a new smartphone. If you want to use new computer programs, you need a new PC or Apple Mac. You know what? Because you cannot experience the new with the old. God wants to pour out new wine. What is a new wineskin? It's a new mindset. It is a mindset that is renewed. That said, God, we're under your will. We're under your rule. We're going to do it your way. That's how he taught us to pray. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in heaven. In earth, as it is in heaven. Thank you. And then he said, give us our daily bread, which is about the manna, the bread of life, his word, and forgive us. That's a simple prayer that he taught us to pray. And that prayer is all about him. God wants to pour out his spirit. God wants to do a new thing. Romans 12 verse 2 says, let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Because if your mind changes, you will be able to know the will of God. The will of God is not what we think. And many times it is not what we pray. The will of God happens when our minds is renewed, is transformed. Principle 6 of a new season is a new season requires godly intervention. We talked about that at the beginning. We talked about how John was how he came about, how Jesus came. The first miracle Jesus did, the Gospel of John says, he turned water into wine. And Jesus was showing the people, you know what the water was when they traveled the roads, and there wasn't roads, but when they traveled and when they get to the place they needed to get, you know, there was no cars, there was no tar roads. They were wearing sandals. It was dust. It was, you can think, you know, all the animals and all the people, you know, it was dust all over the place. Stof oral oor. And when they came to the place that they need to be, they were dirty. And the water was so they could wash them on the outside. And the water talked about the old system. But Jesus turned the water into wine. Because wine is for the inside. Wine is for new living. The Bible says that we mustn't get drunk of wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray together. Father, we just want to thank you this morning that you are a God that's on the move. We want to thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you, God, that you prepare us for new seasons. Thank you that you have a new season in mind for your church. And God, we just want to come this morning and we want to ask you, God, please touch us, God. Please change us so that we will be what you want us to be. And we pray, God, that you will just draw us back like you did with the wife of Hosea, with Gomer. You just draw her back to the desert. And you just told her, you belong to me. You belong to me. And Father, I know there's people here this morning that says, God, I need your comfort. I need you to speak to me. I need you, God, to just tell me that I'm okay. That things are going to be okay. And if it's you this morning, you just raise your hand to God. Just show him, this is me, God. Just tell him, God, thank you for comforting me. Thank you for comforting me. Thank you, I see those hands. You can just slip in the air and just say, God, that's me. I want you to comfort me. Thank you, I see that hand. You can just slip your hand up. Just tell him, God, please, please come and comfort me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just hold it there. Just receive his comfort. Just tell him, thank you, God. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, God, I need restoration in my life. The enemy has stolen from me. Would you just slip up your hand in the air and just say, God, that's me. I pray that you would just restore unto me what the enemy has stolen. I see that hand. Is there other people that says, God, I want you to restore. Thank you. I see those hands. And then there's people here this morning that says, God, I need hope, God. There's just trouble all around me. It's like trouble, trouble, trouble. And I need you to turn that trouble around into a door of hope. I need hope, God. You can just put up your hand. Just say, God, here I am. I need hope, God. Thank you for those hands. Thank you, God. And then the last group of people is people that says, God, I need you to come and renew me. That says, God, my relationship with you has become like stale bread. just need you, God, to come and renew me, to put a song back in my heart, to put a dance to my feet, God. If it's you, just slip up your hands and say, God, just touch me, just renew me. Thank you. I see those hands. I see those hands. Thank you, God. We just worship you, God. We just thank you, God. We just lift up your name, God. Thank you that you are such a great God. Thank you that you are such a special God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to ask those people who have put up their hands this morning, if you have the boldness and if you have the liberty, because I know there's people that God just want to touch. Just somebody, you just need somebody to put a hand upon you. Somebody to just comfort you. Somebody to just reassure you. Somebody to just affirm you that it's okay. God will come through for you. If you've got the liberty and the boldness this morning, I just want to ask you to just come forward. Because there's people that's waiting to pray for you. And God wants to touch you and break through in your life. So you can just take the liberty, you can just take the boldness, and we're going to pray for you and just experience the breakthrough that God has for you, the release of a new season. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just come here, come stand here in front. There will be someone who's going to put his hand upon you. There's leaders here that are trained, that can hear the voice of God, that can speak the voice of God. And just speak to you comfort. Just speak to you what you need. Just pray with you. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for just responding on what God is doing in your life. Thank you, Jesus.